I want to welcome Melissa.
Good morning, Nikki.
Good morning, and
Derek is here joining us for the first time on Garden Conversation.
Yeah. Good morning,
yeah.
Melissa.
Yeah.
Good morning. Well, it's good to have a full studio. They're right here in the studio, and let me hear what you guys are talking about.
Okay, so welcome to Garden Conversation. And Derek, you're the executive director at Toksinuk Watershed Council, right?
Yes, that's right.
Right, okay. So today we're going to talk about making sure that our electric fences work.
Oh.
Uh-huh. Make sure they're working both around our gardens and our compost areas. And I have to start with a confession. So I took one day's worth of compost from the fair, and I put it in my compost bins that are all surrounded by an electric fence. And because I have a very efficient team of helpers, which are five ravens, I hardly ever have any meat in the compost. They, you know, take everything out from the fair and everything. It's fun to watch a raven fly by with a hot dog in its mouth, or its beak, I guess. However, a few days ago, I turned off the fence in the morning when I got up, because I was going to go out to the garden right after I had breakfast. And when I got out there, a sow and two cubs, I think, had visited the compost area in those very few minutes and pushed on one of the bins, and it was all sort of tipped over. So I checked the fence, and I found out that a few of the wires had slipped since I had set it up in the spring, and they were touching the metal stakes, so of course it was grounding out. I made all of the necessary repairs so the fence was working, and then later that day, Kate came by, and she had an electric fence voltage checker, and we made another repair to the fence and got that fence back up to scare the bears away strength. So then I went to the hardware store and bought my own voltage checker. It was a really good lesson for me.
No kidding.
So I suspect that I'm not the only one who installed a fence in the spring but hadn't really checked it. And now we're at the active bear time with the gardens, with berries, with fruit. So, Derek, what should people do to check their fences?
Well, yes, like you said, Melissa, if you have an electric fence installed, you do need to maintain it and check on it. You know, when we go and help people with their fences, one of the most common things we see is, like you said, the wires slip off of the insulators and they touch the fence posts, or vegetation grows up and is touching the wire. And so you need to make sure that those charged wires are, the only things they can touch are the source of the charge, the charger, the battery, whatever you have set up, and the plastic insulators. Okay. If they're touching anything else, you're going to lose some of that voltage. And instead of zapping a bear, that voltage is going into a raspberry bush or something. So you got to you got to check that frequently. You know, every few days would be good if you have, you know, in the summertime when things are growing. And like you said, buying a fence tester is a good way. I would suggest that anyone that has an electric fence should have a fence tester. And they're $15 to $40, and they're available here in town. And use the tester, and you walk around your fence and you stick the ground in the dirt, and you test your wires, and you make sure that they're all charged up good.
Okay, and the fence testers are available at both of the hardware stores.
Mm-hmm.
And the cool thing about them is when you stick the ground, I guess it's a ground thing, down into the soil, the wire connector that you use to touch against the electric fence is long enough that you can get up to about maybe 4 feet.
You should be able to do all of your wires.
Yeah, so. You should be able to do all of the wires.
Now, my question is, should all compost piles be wrapped in an electric fence?
Yes. Yeah, you don't. Yeah, they should be, because you don't want to attract bears. Bears are smart. Mm-hmm. And once they've figured out that that's a good source of food, they're going to be coming back.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I think you really should do that with all compost piles, and probably all fruit trees and even garden areas. I have, inside my compost area, I have a dryer tub that is where I grow my carrots.
Oh, perfect.
Because the bears love to get into carrot patches, especially once you've pulled one carrot, it seems to release some odor that attracts the bears. And then once you start seeing carrots getting harvested, you will see bear poop on the road that'll have little pieces of carrot in it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So where's a good place to get electric fences?
Well, the local hardware stores sell the materials, and there's also a program that Tokchuk Watershed Council has worked with Defenders of Wildlife to reimburse up to 50% of the cost of an electric fence, up to $500. And anyone here in Haines that has a garden, fruit trees, or compost will qualify. And so you go to defenders.org/got-bears, and there's a form there that you fill out. And you send
Derek, I'm so sorry. I want you to, would you go ahead and repeat that for me?
Sure. defenders.org/got-bears.
Okay. Thank you.
And that, and you fill out the form, you send in your receipts, and you'll get a 50% reimbursement on all your fencing materials.
Yeah, and it's a really easy application, and they're great to work with. At Haines Friends of Recycling, we took part in that program. Not that we're growing a garden or have compost out there, but we have bales of tin cans and plastic. And we've had bears get into them, and they can make a ginormous mess.
Oh, absolutely.
So, yeah, we got one, and it's solar charged. Mm-hmm. So they actually paid for the solar charging unit, too, for 50%.
And
on that same website, the defenders.org page that I just mentioned, there's a video that's really good about how to install an electric fence. And so that's one resource that people can look at for advice on just how to put the whole system together. And then Tokchuk also put out a brochure along with the Department of Fish and Game that's available at our website, which is tokchuk.org.
Okay, yeah.
Well, I just want to mention that even when you don't see the bears, they are around. And every time I think that it's not going to be a big deal, we did have a bear right on our porch because of, and we clean and wash recycling, but he was definitely in the recycling. And my daughter will never be the same. Like, we never locked our doors, and now she locks our doors. And it's not because of people, it's because of bears. So.
Yeah. Well, and a few years ago, we had a lot of problems with bears actually learning how to open doors
exactly,
and come into houses.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the more, you know, the more of these fences and the more deterrents like electric fences that we have out there in town, the bears get trained on what those things are. And so when they go, every yard they go into has these clicking wires in it, you know, that gets them, that you know, trains them to leave those attractants alone. Yeah.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Do you think the bears somehow sense the electricity, or do they hear the clicking?
You can hear the fence click. I mean, our ears can hear it. So I think so. Yeah, I think they know what those things are after they get zapped a couple of times.
Your ears can hear it. I'm older than you are. I don't think my ears hear it too much anymore. Yeah. But it's there. Yeah. So having one of these checkers to check the voltage is really good. And as you said, they're, what, $15 to $40,
yeah,
something like that.
So, yeah.
So you can certainly share with some neighbors, too.
Excellent.
Yeah, the other option we have for dealing with fruit trees or those sorts of things is Tokchuk runs a volunteer program for picking fruit out of people's trees if they're overwhelmed with their harvest.
Really?
And, and they can either just give us a call at the office is probably the best way to sign up for that as either a fruit tree owner or a person who wants to volunteer. Our phone number is 766-3542.
Do that again.
3542.
3542.
Okay, so I have a question. I'm a volunteer and I want to pick somebody's fruit. As a volunteer, do I return half that fruit to the tree owner? How does that?
It's often divided up. Sometimes the fruit tree owners, are out of town or whatever, and so it gets divided in some amiable way between all the parties, and then whatever is left over, which we tend to have a lot of sour cherries left over, those get composted at the school garden.
It's incredible we have them left over, though, because they're so delicious.
Well, there's never sweet cherries left over.
Funny about that, huh?
And what's that program called?
Apples and Bears.
Okay.
And it's run by Tracy Wyrett Cassidy at the Watershed Council.
Okay. Awesome. And is this the second year for that? Or
I think so. Second, yeah. Must be the second year.
Yeah. I know they had it in place before this year, too. And, yeah, it's a great idea because We just have to encourage bears to be wild, as in go away.
Yeah, and the problem we're having is actually too much fruit and not enough volunteers. So if anybody wants to volunteer for that program, please call us up.
Incredible. Okay, and a great way to get some free fruit if mm-hmm. you don't want to grow it yourself.
Absolutely.
That's great. If somebody doesn't want to buy an electric fence, even with the Defenders of Wildlife program, is there a place in town where they can borrow an electric fence?
Yes, and you know, in an emergency fish and game, at the fish and game office, they have a couple of fences that they can loan out. The intended use for those is just kind of as a last resort emergency. If you have attractants in your yard, you should think about installing your own fence, and anyone can call us. We can help with that, and you can look at that defenders.org page for some financial help.
Okay, yeah, and it's not an expensive thing to do.
No,
and
it's not terribly
expensive. Mine runs off of house current, but the one at the recycling center is solar powered. So
yeah, we encourage folks to buy the kind that plugs in to house current. Those are easier to maintain. You don't have a battery to charge, and if you do have a charger that runs off a battery, that's another thing that needs to just be checked and maintained.
Ah, yeah. And the house current is pretty powerful.
Yeah.
Where solar power will vary, of course, depending on the weather. Yeah. So thank you so much, Derek. We want to keep wildlife safe and at the same time enjoy the fruits of our gardening labor. Anything else to add about electric fences?
I don't think so. Yeah, thanks for having me on.
Yeah, so it's important for everybody to do that. A couple of other quick gardening items. It's time to harvest your garlic and your onions before we get much more rain. And if you've looked at the forecast, we are now into soggy southeast. So get that garlic out of the ground before the cloves start to separate from the stem. Mm-hmm. And then make sure to thoroughly dry your garlic and onions before storing them away. Mm. Another confession. I'm beginning and ending with confessions here. Last year, I left my garlic in too long, and then I didn't dry it enough, and I lost a whole lot of it to rot, which is just heartbreaking. Yeah.
Oh.
So for anybody that never wants to come on Garden Conversation because you think you have to be an expert, allow me to assure you that is not the case. We are all learning all the time. And then another thing, if you didn't have time at the fair to go by the Cooperative Extension booth, to look at all of the flyers that they have, not to worry. They give all of their leftover flyers to Haines Friends of Recycling at the end of the fair. And then I put them in the rack at the entrance to Hauser's. And I try to keep the rack well stocked, and I try to keep it seasonal. If there's something in particular that you're looking for, give me a call, 766-2185, and I'll see if I've got something like that.
Wonderful.
So it's a busy time of year for harvesting, for canning, for freezing, dehydrating. One final suggestion is to go through your freezer, find everything that's left over from 2022 or earlier, and put it into a box in the freezer or some kind of a section in the freezer and label it old so that you can use it up as soon as possible in soup or whatever.
Or possibly donate it to Head Start. I know they receive donations, or the senior center. Didn't they used to take fish, old fish? And
they
fish?
Might.
Yeah,
yeah, you'll
there's
have to,
lots of
have
opportunities.
To call them. Yeah. Call first. Yeah, don't just show up with a bag full of fish. but anyway, you want to make room for all of the bounty of this beautiful summer that we had.
Well, and it goes right along. There's a local foods challenge right now. The Chilkat Valley
right.
Local Foods Challenge runs through Sunday, August 13th, so it's mm-hmm. happening. There's been classes and events all week, I guess, to encourage eating locally, and Lonnie Hotch is presenting a salmon subsistence workshop today, Thursday, uh-huh. at 11 a.m. to noon at the Chilkat Guan Heritage Center. Rides from town leave at 10:30 a.m. from the Marvin Garden. And for more information, email tracy@talkchinook.org. So another really wonderful opportunity to combine our gardens with our local food. How much local food do you guys think you, in your diet, if you were to do a percentage, what do you think your percentage is? On a good year, mine's 45%. This year, it's probably 25%. Where are you guys at?
We try to eat all of our protein here locally, fish and moose and stuff. I don't know about percentage, probably something like that, maybe half.
Half, 50%, yeah, that's awesome.
That's really good, yeah. I eat fish once or twice a week, try to. And
I mean, you have a beautiful garden. So.
Well, thank you. Between what I put up and what I get through, there's a co-op, an organic food co-op that you can get stuff you can't grow here. Maybe 50%. I freeze a lot, and I try to eat something out of my garden every day.
And our wild foods actually grow year-round here. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you know, but you can always find something green growing along the beach that's edible. So it's pretty amazing
how we had wild mushrooms for dinner last night from some close friends of ours.
Ooh, beautiful. Were there porcinis?
Chanterelles.
Ooh, someone was just asking about chanterelles. Mm-hmm. This is the season for sure. Awesome.
Oh, what an amazing place we live in.
Very abundant, and this is an abundant time. Thank you so much for sharing your knowledge. Yeah, I certainly learned a lot.
Well, thank you, Nikki, and thank you, Derek. And
you guys have a beautiful day.
Yeah,
okay,
have
you
a great
too.
Day.
Bye-bye.
Thank you to all our listeners for listening here at